Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Unsigned and Independent, Season 2, Episode 9 with J.D. Clayton. Now, I don't know J.D. I know he's from Arkansas, though. And I know that Morgan, number one, my manager, also has started working with J.D. And she reached out and she was like, do you care if I pitch this to Kevin? And I was like, oh, you can pitch whatever you want. I'm never going to tell you no. And she was like, well, I just don't want to. Because Morgan and I have been together forever, and she didn't want to, like, abuse the relationship, which she never would. So, and I know you wouldn't just take him either, so there must be something about this guy you really liked.
It's his music.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sound of his music is awesome. It's, like, got blues, grass, old-school feel, but it's weird because his inspiration was, like, Jack Johnson and like, John Mayer.
Like, acoustic.
Yeah. But it's that either you're sitting by the campfire and you're really enjoying it on a Sunday night or something, or it's your foot-stomping kind of music.
So, Fort Smith, Arkansas native J.D. Clayton, he did not grow up on classic country. You know, like you said, it's a lot of the singer-songwriter stuff. I know he likes Ben Harper. I'm a big Ben Harper guy, too. Man, love Ben Harper. So, I was watching a video of him. It looked like he goes pretty hard, too, when he plays.
Yeah, which is weird because he's so calm in person.
He is?
Yeah, very.
What'd you think about him?
I thought he was great. His story is awesome, how COVID, he lost a job, and he had to work for a landscaping company. But that's where he wrote his album, literally on the steps while working for the landscaping company.
On the steps.
On the steps of like a apartment complex that he's working on.
Here he is, J.D. Clayton, Season 2, Episode 9 of Unsigned and Independent with Kickoff Kevin.
All right, J.D., how are we doing today, man?
Doing good, man. Thanks good. For having me.
Of course. Glad you're in here. And I want to say the reason, not the only reason, but the main reason that you're in here is I'm a big fan of your music.
Thanks, man.
I like your sound. I like that it's something that reminds me of, I can either be sitting on the couch on Sunday morning, drinking a cup of coffee, maybe doing a little work or something like that. Or I can be by a bonfire, tapping my feet, and you got that little variety of sound. And I'm going to play two clips real quick right here just so our listeners have an idea of what that means. Okay, and the first one is American Millionaire. Well, for now, I guess it's all up in the air, but you know I'll be an American millionaire. Okay, and then the next one will be Long Way From Home. Mama, I know I'm a long way from home, but the shoulder road keeps on going in these dreams. So this sound, is it something that you've always had? Or, because it seems like, I don't know if, I don't really like to compare artists, you know, directly, but it's almost like that, it's up and coming a little bit with that whole like Zach Bryan, Warren Zeiders, Tyler Childers, something like that, where it's that toe tapping, not necessarily that pop country, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that something that you try to, you know, aspire for and something that you listen to where you're like, that's kind of the sound I'm looking for, or is it just your own thing?
Yeah, definitely. I have been heavily influenced over the last couple of years by the music I like to listen to. Just late 60s, early 70s, rock and roll, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Creedence Clearwater Revival. I really love Chris Stapleton. But no, to answer your first question, it's not what I started out trying to do. I didn't know what to do. I just was making music, that writing songs, learning to write songs, making stuff up, and you know, just kind of stumbled upon this sound. And I knew, I guess it was during COVID, I just had the realization that I wanted to make something that felt honest and felt like it was me. And so I tried to, I did a pretty deep dive on trying to understand my sound, understand where I come from. And so, yeah, I mean, really, when I talk to people after shows, I mean, this is, I call it the Arkansas sound. I'm trying to bring a little bit of who I am and where I'm from and that part of the world into my music and the stories that I'm writing about.
And you are from where at in Arkansas?
Western Arkansas, Fort Smith, Arkansas, on the border of Oklahoma.
And when did you move to Nashville?
About 3.5 years ago.
So not too long ago.
Not too long ago.
I mean, you get a little mix, I guess, but that's still a little fresh, right?
Yeah.
And what was your upbringing like in West Arkansas?
So, pretty standard, middle-class family. My dad's a pastor. My mom is an oil painter. Not much going on.
Where'd the country music, or where did music in general come from for you?
My dad, kind of an interesting upbringing in music. My dad was a huge fan of singer-songwriters like Jack Johnson and John Mayer. That's, you know, really what we, that type of music, Amos Lee, Ben Harper, that was kind of what I was brought up on. Surfer,
that's
chill.
I mean, I'm a California guy. That sounds like more California than it would Arkansas.
That's all we listened to, like on the way to practice. I didn't ever hear country music until I was probably a junior in high school. On the football team, guys would be playing stuff, you know, in the locker room, and I kind of got into it. But pretty much in our household, it was just late 60s, early 70s rock and roll. James Taylor, John Denver, the Beatles, and then Jack Johnson and John Mayer.
Wow, that's quite a mix. That's a mix there. When did you pick up the first, was it a guitar that you first learned how to play?
Yeah.
Okay, when did you pick that up?
When I was younger, my grandfather played banjo in a bluegrass band that they would just go to prisons around the region in Arkansas and serve barbecue dinners and then play a bluegrass show. So he kind of, when I was really young, taught me to play a few chords and just play along with him. So that was pretty much my only introduction besides trying to learn Jack Johnson songs and John Mayer songs on guitar. That was pretty much it, just G, C, and D, playing along while he played banjo.
And when did you realize, did you have an age at all where you're like, this is might be something I want to do for a career or long run rather than just playing a couple chords here and there at a little shop here and there?
Yeah, it's a pretty long, drawn out process. There was never really a moment that I just thought I had it. My sister was given a piano when I was in about the 9th grade, and I would sneak into her room and kind of figure out, I played music by ear, so I figured out how chords worked by just, like, you know, using your fingers and spacing one note in between each finger, and you had a chord. And I just would, you know, mess around until something sounded right. And then you learn that if you play C, G, and F, or C, F, G, you have a 1-4-5, I later learned. You know, it just sounded right. And if it doesn't sound right, you're not playing something right. You're not playing it right. So
right.
I figured out I could kind of play piano. Then I started taking some lessons. And then I started messing around with my iPhone voice memo app, just learning cover songs. And then I would try to sing along. And I remember recording a version of The Scientist by Coldplay, and I'd been jamming that song for a while. Went down and showed the recording to my folks, and my dad was like, holy cow, like, you can sing?
Really?
I had been in choir at church and stuff, but it was just really nothing that my parents never pushed me in the direction of music, never told me I should do that. It just slowly kind of happened. And really what started was a friend kind of convinced me to play graduation with her, the ceremony. And that was the first time I'd ever really, like, played in front of a huge group of people.
In high school?
In high school.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah, we played and it did really well. And I kind of got the bug after that. So I just started going down to the farmer's market in Fort Smith and started busking right next to the guy selling peaches, and would cover Donovan Frankenreiter, Amos Lee, Jack Johnson, just whatever I could make a couple bucks. And yeah, a couple months later when I started college, I started a band.
Where'd you go to college at?
In Fort Smith, the University of Arkansas.
Oh, you did go? Oh, wow. Yeah. How was that for your, were you, did you graduate from there?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to say you left there and pursued the music career, but it's good to see that you finished there. So were you playing all throughout, would you play at local venues there, like maybe dive bars?
Yeah. My, I think my folks were super ticked at first just because they thought I was just wasting time and college money, but formed a band, and our first show was at the Starbucks on campus.
Wow.
Just right in the student union there. It was just like my folks and my grandparents that came.
That's awesome. Would you ever, because I went to a University of Tennessee game last year, it was my first SEC game ever.
Yeah.
And we were walking around pregame and tailgating and all that, and there was a couple bands, but there was one band in particular that had the whole crowd or in this parking lot jamming. There's food, drinks, everything. Would you ever do anything like that before the games, big games, something like that?
No, that would have been awesome, but I never really got invited to do anything. I just would on the weekends go down and play at the bars in Fort Smith, and I got really good at, you know, designing posters for it or whatever. Just, I was trying to like really learn how to do the indie band thing and what is it that's bringing people to downtown Fort Smith. You know, I was just very focused on that. And so I started planning shows around holidays. Like we would do a Thanksgiving show or we would do a Christmas show. And Fort Smith's one of those towns that basically everybody graduates high school and then they leave and they go off to college. And then on the holidays, they all come back.
Mm-hmm.
So I realized that if I planned these shows, it was a chance for everyone to just meet up. And if they're going to meet up, might as well meet at my show. So it started to grow. And we did that a couple of years. And by, I guess it was the year I moved, I had booked a Thanksgiving and a Christmas show. And yeah, I mean, we had like, you know, 250, 350 people showing up at these things. So it just slowly grew.
Were you the only one playing, you and your band?
Yeah.
So that show was specifically for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Hometown headline type of thing.
That's awesome. So, what was that like for you playing in front of your hometown?
Oh my gosh. It was amazing. Just the fact that we had gone from, you know, 15 people in Starbucks to 3 years later, you know, 300 people all from, you know, my high school and the other high schools. It was awesome.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
What year did you graduate?
I graduated 2018.
Okay, and you moved here, what, you said three and a half. So did you move 2020?
2021. No, I'm sorry. I moved here 2019.
2019.
My wife was in nursing school, so we waited a year for her to graduate and then moved.
And you moved here, was that right before the pandemic? How early in?
July of 2019.
Okay. Because every artist I've talked to in here, you know, obviously the pandemic was a hit for them and not the right way. What was that like going through for you then? You only been here 6 months and then something like that hits. And for an artist like you, where it's already hard enough, that's something you got to deal with.
It was rough. I was working for Frothy Monkey in the Nations.
Yeah.
Just slinging some brew. And, I remember the day they called us in, they were like, hey, that week of Nashville was wild and everything was shutting down. And they just called us in and said, hey, we're letting you go. And I just lived down the street. So I was just driving home after just getting fired. And my landlord was sitting outside and he owns a landscape company. And I just jokingly pulled up and was like, hey, I'm going to have to come cut some grass for you. I just lost my job. And we were laughing about it. And a couple hours later, he called me and said, if you're serious, I've got a job for you. And I think like 5 days later, I was working for the landscape company down in Nolensville, Tennessee.
Really? So you never, that's good. Then you never really skipped a beat as far as, you know, income goes. It's not something you wanted to do. And you knew, obviously, that wasn't your long-term thing, but you had to get through.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about doing the unemployment thing. And, mm-hmm. He and I were good friends. And I just, you know, it gave me a chance to hang out with him and work and do some manual labor, which was good for me to be outside. And ended up, they put me on the install crew. So we were just, running irrigation lines and planting trees. And
you still working for them?
No, I'm not. No.
You're done with that?
It's bittersweet. Thankful to not be there, but I do miss the guys. It was me and Alfredo, Jose, and Nico. That was our truck. And yeah, I mean, just, it was crazy, man. I mean, I'd never done anything like that. I learned how to speak Spanish. You know, I was going to Alfredo's kids' birthday parties, just hanging out by the pinata. I changed a lot,
right,
over COVID as a person, and learned a lot, and for the better,
right.
But yeah, it helped me write songs, and I wrote Long Way From Home all during that time. So it wasn't all for nothing.
And were you playing shows pre-pandemic out here? You were out here for about 6 months or so, like when you were working at the Frothy Monkey, or no?
Not really. The plan was to, I was a freight broker at the LNC Tower downtown. I worked for a company called ProPack. So I was in the trucking industry, and that was what brought me to Nashville. I had that income, and that's how we were going to make it for a while. But I realized there was no time to play shows. I had tons of shows that I had booked before we moved down, still in Arkansas. So my first 4 months of being in Nashville, I was just driving. I think I drove back to Arkansas like eight times playing shows that I'd already booked. So I really didn't play in Nashville. I think I played one time, and it was the New Faces night at the Basement that Grimy does. And that was like the week before COVID. So that was it.
And then during 2020, you spent just basically writing?
Yeah, I played a couple things. Arkansas wasn't taking COVID very serious. So there were a couple performances that I was able to pull off during COVID. But yeah, for the most part, it was pretty shut down. I was just basically, I used that time to work on the album. I started recording in 2021, took the whole year to record that record. And then I just started getting on Google and finding out everybody in town, what they did, who they were, started cold emailing my record to people, and it just, yeah, slowly kind of stumbled upon my current situation with William Morris and Red Light.
And that album you're talking about is called Long Way From Home, right?
Yeah.
Released earlier this year?
Yeah.
That's something, I was reading a little bit about it, and it's something that has to do with your life and your upbringing. Is that something that the album that you were aiming for as you're writing all these songs and you're going through the pandemic and everything, and you're just thinking, what do I need to write about? And your childhood, Arkansas, was everything to you, and that's kind of how this album came about?
Yeah, I mean, I felt desperate. I felt a sense of urgency because I was sick of landscaping.
How long did you do that for, by the way?
A year and a half.
Okay.
It starts to eat away. I was like, I mean, I'm jumping ahead, but I mean, that's how I wrote Long Way From Home. I was just sitting on the steps of this apartment complex that we had just finished the irrigation on. And, you know, Alfredo's taking a nap next to me. They always would take a siesta at lunch break. And I was just sitting there typing on the notes app on my phone. And I typed Long Way From Home in like 20 minutes.
It
was
really
just like, I was like breaking down. I was so emotional, just like, you know, this is ridiculous. Why am I here? If I want to do landscaping with my life, I have a college degree. I'm trying to do music. If I want to do landscaping, we need to just go back to Arkansas and do landscaping there.
Right.
But missing, not seeing my family, you know, I hadn't seen my folks in over a year. It was just like, what am I doing? What is this really worth it? Is this what this is all about? You just for your music dream, you can just screw off and you don't see anybody anymore. That's so, yeah, it was a really hard time. For me. So it just started pouring out in the songs, and I kind of slowly got some songs together and realized, like what you're talking about, the upbringing, I realized there was a story here. I didn't really necessarily plan it that way at first, but it just kind of happened. I had a Good Morning song, which is the intro of the album, Hello, Good Morning. And I was like, hey, that'd be a cool way to open it. And then it just slowly kind of, I had a marker board in my room where I had my studio, and I just started kind of writing the songs as they came, and I got the form down, and I knew it was going to be an arc of an album, just a concept album, if you will.
Was this something that you were coming up with on your own, or kind of like you taught yourself growing up playing the guitar and everything, or were you reaching out, like you said, you were emailing people, was anybody responding, or was it something that you were just kind of doing on your own and figuring it out, and here we are, and it all kind of worked out.
Yeah, I can't explain it to you better than that. I don't necessarily deserve to be here. I'm grateful to be here. I don't know how it happened or why it happened, but I'm just a kid that can strum a guitar, and that's it, man. I don't know. It's a really cool thing, and I'm so happy to be here, and all the people that have taken a chance on me, but that's really what it is. It's just people that took a chance on a kid.
Yeah, but it's also well-deserved at the same time. Like, wow. Obviously, you've put in your long days and your, you know, everybody has their down days, and it makes those up days a lot better. And
that's right.
Us sitting here right now, if that landscaping never happened, this album might never happen, and, you know, COVID and all that. So
That's right. It all happened for a reason. It happened how it's supposed to, and I, you know, again, I'm just happy to be here. It's cool.
Just along for the ride?
Yeah, yeah.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts. That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
What's next then for you? Do you have like a, in your head, do you vision this, all right, I need to do this, and this is my version of success here in Nashville. I need to do this. I need to write with this person. I need to make this song. I need to be on this stage or do something like this. Or are you just enjoying the ride as you're going here?
No, I'm able to look back on everything that's happened and talk very carelessly about it, and I am along for the ride, but I am a very driven person, and so I try to keep things I don't know if they're going to work, but I have a list of things that I know we need to get done, and it might not be the right direction, might not be the right strategy, I don't know. I've already started recording my next album. It's almost done. The goal in my mind is to start, you know, putting some songs out soon. Even though we just put the record out, I think in the day and age we live, people are hungry for more content, and I think people will find their way to Long Way From Home down the road. It might take me four albums before someone hears Long Way From Home. That's just kind of how it works, I guess. But yeah, I'm just kind of trying to find ways to just stay on the grind,
stay on the right path.
Last night I went to a show. There was a lot of writers there, and that was great. I got some phone numbers, and yeah, I need to be writing with more people. I typically like to write alone. I wrote Long Way From Home alone, except for Beauty Queen, with my friends Lauren Huntgate and Bree Doster. But that's just kind of been my writing is kind of my time to get alone and just think. And but I realize the benefit of co-writing, and so I'm trying to do more of that.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of that in Nashville.
There is.
I mean, everyone I've talked to on here is co-writing, and you know, somebody's helping me write, but I could see the, you know, the dynamic of writing by yourself and getting all of what's in your head out on that piece of paper or out on your phone with your notes, yeah, whatever it might be.
And well, it's like a puzzle, right? It's like a, there's a great sense of accomplishment when it's done and you can listen to the voice memo of a song you just created and you're like, that's what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. And then how many times do you have it where you picture something in your head as you're maybe writing it out, and then you go to record it and it just sounds completely different? Is it ever like that? Or is it something from beginning to end where you have an idea of what this song or this album is going to be?
It's typically pretty close. I keep most stuff up in my head. So it's like when we're going in, if it doesn't sound like what's in my head, then it's not right.
You don't want
it. We'll get it. We'll yeah. get what. So like with Cotton Candy Clouds, for example, to highlight that song, the day before we went into the studio, I had a meeting with this guy that was helping me produce the record, and we just couldn't figure it out. Like I tried to play it for him on my guitar. He didn't get it. It didn't make sense. And I left the studio and just went for a walk around McCabe Park and just did like three or four laughs and just had my voice memo app. And I was just singing how I thought the song was going to sound. Like all the parts at the end, like I would like hum the guitar, what the guitar would be doing, everything. And then went into the studio the next day, showed the band basically how the song was going to feel based on these voice memo apps. recordings.
Yeah.
And that's the song. So it just, when I hear it, I can pretty well know if it's right away.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anybody out here in Nashville that's been a big influence on you, whether it's a writer, somebody part of your team, or just somebody that's helped you along the journey, taking you from, you know, a guy just writing songs while working in a landscaping company to really trying to hone in on your craft?
Yeah, I think somebody to highlight would be Thomas Doolin. He is a producer in town, helped me with Long Way From Home. And he was the first person that I reached out to when I was coming to Nashville a lot to help me get some professional recordings. And so my first EP, a couple of singles that I did, and then Long Way From Home I did at his place. And he was really good he taught me a lot, and I kind of have learned how to produce and get songs to sound the way they need to sound in the studio through his guidance. So that was, yeah, he was really instrumental during those early years of being here.
Yeah, okay. I want to run through some real quick questions as we kind of wrap this up here with some rapid fire, get to know you a little bit more, even outside the music. Just three quick ones for you.
Sweet.
And the first one is, what is your favorite hobby outside of the music?
Favorite hobby outside of music would probably be fly fishing, I guess. My dad and my brother and I go a lot, quite a bit. Arkansas is a good place to do that. Yep. The Little Red River, White River are great. But I grew up every year we go to Colorado and we fish out there, and we've been doing that. My family's been going out there for about 40 years. So
really?
That's what we do together.
Okay. What about your favorite movie? You have one favorite movie of all time?
Yes. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino,
okay.
The most recent one. I have watched that probably 400 times.
What?
And I'm not exaggerating.
Seriously?
I don't know what it is. I think it is a masterpiece. I watch it for inspiration. I watch it for style. I watch it for, I mean, everything. I love that film.
Are you a big Tarantino guy in general, or is it just that movie?
I like his films. It's really that movie. I've watched a lot of his movies, but that one in particular, yeah, I don't know. It just checks all the boxes for me. When I'm chilling at home, if I'm trying to kind of get in the right headspace, I'll just throw that on, light some incense or something.
That's quite some movie to just throw on. Just to have
some stoner stuff. I don't know. It's great, man. I don't know what to say. My friends all make the guys in the band give me such a hard time, but it's all I want to watch. If we're chilling, I'm throwing that on.
That's wild. I mean, it's a great movie. Don't get me wrong, but that's quite the movie. I don't know if I've ever heard anybody say something like that. All right, last one. You kind of talked about this a little bit, but I'm going to ask it anyways. You said you like to write alone, but if you could co-write with anybody, dead or alive, who would it be?
Chris Stapleton.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that one I understand, definitely.
That's, like I said earlier, I didn't understand country music, didn't grow up with it. My dad hates country music. It just wasn't until, I guess I was either a senior, I think I was a senior in high school. Yeah. A video came across my YouTube feed of Chris Stapleton playing at the Opry singing Amanda, just a trio with his bass player and his wife. And my dad and I were sitting there watching it, and I almost got choked up. I was just like, what is this?
Have you seen him live?
I haven't.
I think he's playing here this summer too, isn't he?
No, I'm...
Oh, you're on the road?
I'm on the road. Yeah, it was a sad day to learn that.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to bring up the sore subject. It's all right. Well, speaking on the road, go check him out. Go to jdclaytonofficial.com for your tour dates. You're on the road quite a bit this summer, right? Opening up for Hank Williams Jr.?
I did, yeah. Okay. That was just a couple weeks ago. It was unreal.
Yeah?
it was wild.
Do you like his music? You grew up on his music?
I did,
Or listen to him? I guess not grow up,
That was in... I guess that's an exception to country. Hank Williams kind of... or his stuff in the 70s, early 80s kind of flirts the line there. Arkansas loves its Southern rock. And so some of Hank's music kind of blurs the lines there.
Yeah.
So I'd listen to some of that in high school.
Okay. Well, check him out on social media as well, at JD Clayton Official. Check him out, follow him, stream him. Over 5 million streams. He's awesome, man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, man.
Love your music. I'm going to keep listening. I appreciate you coming in here.
Thanks, dude. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Bobbycast. Share this episode with a friend, because they don't pay to advertise us.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.